We should be joined live on the phone by Hazel Masterson. Just to fill you in, this is Fibromyalgia Awareness Month. And this morning we're talking about the condition. Good morning, Hazel.
Good morning, George.
Good morning. As I always say, I haven't seen outside a window for the guts of an hour and a half. Any sign of sun?
No, you're not missing anything.
Nothing. It's supposed to get nice the weekend.
Yeah, it is. It's forecast.
Have they ever been wrong?
No.
Hazel, what exactly is fibromyalgia?
Oh, hard to explain. Anyway, here goes. Fibromyalgia is chronic pain and chronic fatigue. And it affects your whole body. It's not just, oh, I have a pain in my elbow, I have a pain in my head. You have a pain literally every part, every muscle and tissue in your body has chronic pain. I've even described it as my eyeballs even pain me at times because there's muscles there.
Is the pain consistent, Hazel?
Yes,
or do you have good days and bad days?
Yes, I did have, but I find now in the last 2 years that it has got a lot worse. But there's also a pain called flare, and that can last from 1 week to God knows when. It's when the condition really flares up, and no matter what you do, there's no relief for it. So that's when it gets really, you know, hard going. But you have to just get on with it because there's no cure for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to find what works for you, and I've tried everything, you know, but I'd say never stop trying. Find different things, you know.
When were you first aware, Hazel, that something wasn't quite right? And can you tell us a little bit about the diagnostic process?
Yeah, I was diagnosed 20 years ago, and it was my local GP. In fairness to him, he was a very good doctor, and he diagnosed it. And my first symptoms of fibromyalgia wasn't pain, it was fatigue. And like that, I just thought, you know, I'm tired, why am I tired? Got all the blood tests done, had every x-ray done. So it was elimination, you know, because there is no particular blood test or x-ray for fibromyalgia. So they have to rule everything else out to come to the conclusion that, yeah, it's fibromyalgia. I was also diagnosed in the Mater Hospital by a rheumatologist.
Okay.
So I have it for 20 years.
Is this an actual physical condition, Hazel, or is it a neurological condition, or is it a bit of both?
Bit of both, I'd say, yeah. And, like, it's hard to explain to friends and family because it's invisible. So they don't see your pain. They don't, you know, you could look fine, you could look okay, you don't look sick, you don't... Physically, you don't look sick, but it's all in the inside. It's inside your body, and it's everything is an effort, you know.
Can you tell us about? Yeah, I was about to ask. What is a typical day for you, or do you have a typical day, Hazel?
Not really at the moment. I'm in the flare and I'm very bad, but I have had days where, you know, it kind of would turn down a bit, and they're the days that I'm in a writer's group. I'm also a book club. I set up my own book club. I love writing, drama, you know, so you have to try and think, you know, this is not going to control me. This, you know, this is part of my life, but I have to take control as well. Now, they're on the good days, but on the bad days, nobody sees me because I just go to bed. And that's my relief, my pain relief is to sleep.
And you mentioned a few moments ago that you were aware that something wasn't quite right 20 years ago. Did you know of fibromyalgia 20 years ago?
Absolutely not. Nobody did.
Hmm.
And it was like I actually didn't talk about it 20 years ago. I found that, you know, only in the last couple of years that I'm actually saying I have fibromyalgia, because it was too hard to explain. And nobody understood it and nobody heard of it. There is a lot more awareness now. But it's still a taboo, I think. It's still, people don't get it, you know. They kind of think, oh, maybe she's looking for notice, or maybe she's just lazy, or maybe she's... Now, I have great family and friends, and I'm part of a women's group, Donegal Women's Group, and I have great support. But you do need that, you know, because there is times that you feel very alone. Because, you know, you feel you're the only one suffering with it, but obviously you're not. But it can isolate you.
Is there still a little amount of scepticism out there amongst people, and maybe within the medical profession, about fibromyalgia? Do they take it seriously enough?
No, there is. It still can be like that. Like, I've changed doctors. I've gone to different doctors. But I think unless they're, you know, properly trained for it, and I don't know if there's probably one or two in Ireland, but I read an article one time, and I thought, you know what, that's perfect. A doctor wrote an article to say that she had patients with fibromyalgia, but she never actually understood it because she got it herself. And I thought, well, you know, she's a doctor. She still didn't get it, but when she suffered with it herself, she could understand. She had more empathy for her patients, I suppose, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of also false information. You know, you can read stuff and they can tell you, oh, we can cure you, we can do this, we can... You know, there's no cure. I'd stand over that. There's absolutely no cure. And I don't take any medication because I was on a lot of medication and it did nothing for me. Now, I'm not saying that nobody should take medication. Everybody that has fibromyalgia is different and suffers differently. And what works for one person might not work for the other. Mm. But I was on a concoction of 15 painkillers a day and I was still in pain.
Sorry, Hazel, I was about to mention there that this is Fibromyalgia Awareness Month. First of all, how has the month gone for you? And how important are months like these in helping to not just raise awareness, but educate people as to this condition?
It is very important. And in actual, the date for fibromyalgia in May is the 12th of May. And it's kind of a worldwide awareness. It's not just Ireland. It's the whole of the world, like, you know. And it's very important because it helps people to understand it, and it helps awareness. And awareness is always good because people will question it then. You know, they'll say, what is that? How do you suffer with that, you know? But when I was diagnosed, nobody asked me anything because they didn't know. They didn't know what it was. I didn't even know myself what it was, you know. So information is power, you know.
Absolutely. And yes. How important is it to network with other people who have this condition?
Yeah, I say that's very important. I have one particular friend that has fibromyalgia, and the two of us can mold on the phone to each other, you know, and then we'll have a laugh, and then we'll say, what are we like, you know. But we're on the same level with each other because we understand it. Whereas someone that doesn't have it doesn't really understand. And that's okay, because if you don't have it, you know, you don't get it, kind of. Because it's invisible, you know?
It is very easy to dismiss new things, and I can only imagine just how far back in history fibromyalgia goes, but we didn't have a name for it. I'm thinking of the dismissing young people in school because we didn't understand that they had ADD or ADHD. Dyslexia as well was a condition that's really only been understood within the last 20-25 years. And I think this is another one that's going to be a slow burner, but people will eventually wake up and accept the fact that it is real. Am I right?
Yeah, it is real. And it's not recommended, or it's not recognised by the Irish government here in Dublin. It's recognised in Northern Ireland as a disability. It's recognised in America and England. But so far in Southern Ireland, they're not. It's been brought to the dial, it's been spoken about, people have petitioned. It's kind of judged on a one-to-one basis, not on as a proper disability, you know, and it really is a disability because you can't work with it. You know, I can't, if I make an appointment with someone and I want to go out and I want to enjoy myself, at the last minute I might have to cancel that appointment because I'm too tired and I'm in too much pain. But then, you know, people kind of get fed up then and they say, ah, sure, look, she, you know, what's wrong with her? She looks okay, you know. So there's that part of it as well. And therefore, to hold down a job, now, there is people work with fibromyalgia, but and I worked myself for years, but, you know, it's difficult because you can't ring in sick because you look okay and people say there's nothing wrong with her, you know. So you're not reliable, really, you know, for yourself, I think.
Hazel, we got a text in and it says, George, my daughter aged 45 and granddaughter aged 18 suffers yeah. with the condition, and that my daughter is allergic to painkillers. What would you say to that?
Well, what I found worked for me was massage and get a proper massage, you know, from a proper professional. I have a friend, a nurse, and she worked with that. I also, at the start, done acupuncture. When I needed to come off those tablets, I said, I'm going to have to come off them and I'm going to have to do something else. Now, it's not a quick fix. Acupuncture is a slow, you know, way of working, but it did help. I got off all the medication through acupuncture. Swimming, water aerobics, these are the things that worked for me. Also, a nice holiday. I know this sounds a bit... But a nice holiday in the sunshine is my best medicine. You know, it's the heat and the sun. It just, it does wonders, you know. So, in the past year and a half, as you know, none of those things have been available because I couldn't go for a massage. I couldn't go for a swim. I couldn't go on a holiday.
Yeah. So
looking forward to better days.
Yeah, so far, Hazel, I've mentioned the word condition, okay? Now, just to try and clear this up in my own mind, is it a condition or is it a disease?
I think it's a disease.
Okay.
I'm not a medical person, but the way I describe it, and I've done counselling, I've done loads of things, you know, to help, and I described to one of the counsellors, and she said it was a very good description. Everybody has to feel pain. That's normal. That lets you know that there's something wrong in your body. But with fibromyalgia, I say that switch doesn't know how to turn off. It's permanently on. It's broken. There's something broken within the brain, which I don't know, but it doesn't know how to switch off pain. That's the way I describe it. You know?
Oh. Now, if there's somebody listening to this morning, Hazel, and what they're hearing has set off a few alarm bells in their head, and they think they may have the condition too, or the disease too, what's the first thing they should do?
The first thing I think they should do, obviously, is go to the doctor, go to the GP, get all their tests done. It's a process of elimination, as I said. It took a year for me to be diagnosed with fibromyalgia through, like, you know, getting all the x-rays and the blood tests. And once they eliminate them, well, then they have to look at, is it fibromyalgia? You know, they have to. A rheumatologist is normally who will diagnose it. You know, they can diagnose that you have fibromyalgia.
So just to be clear, if you go and get an x-ray, you don't see anything on the x-ray that says you've got this. Am I right?
No, nothing shows up. Blood test or an x-ray. Now in America, they're doing a lot of research and it is rumoured that there is a special blood test that they're developing to show up fibromyalgia. I don't know how true that is, but hopefully, yeah. Mm. Because also... the hardest part I find, apart from the pain and the fatigue, is the disbelief. It's the people, you know, and a doctor said to me, before you worried about people not believing it, and I said, it kind of undermines me, because if anybody that knows me, I'm a person that loves to be out, loves to be enjoying myself, loves to party like everyone else, and it's very frustrating for me when I can't do that, you know?
Yeah, now we've got another text in from the same person that says, George... the flare up is so painful, and that comes in from Ursula, who's a good friend of the station here. Good morning, Ursula. And so, you know, this thing is real.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. And, you know, people, and see, the thing, it's very hard for people with fibromyalgia, you know, because we don't always have the energy to, you know, to put our opinions forward or, you know, to make it known, because everything we do takes an awful lot of energy. You know, for instance, like on a really bad, now I'm just describing here a really bad day in my life, maybe not in someone else's, I have to get up in the morning and I have great plans. I go down, I empty the dishwasher, make a cup of tea, and I have to crawl back up the stairs and get into bed and sleep. Like, that's, do you know what I mean? That's very frustrating, you know? But that's all I can do. And I think that my body is telling me that you need to rest. You know, that you, and then you feel guilty yourself. What am I doing in bed, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sick. You're convincing yourself you're not sick, even though you know you are, you know?
Are there any treatments available at all out there that might be able to help you, Hazel?
I don't think so. But then the only thing I haven't tried is, you know, like a pain management with a lot of injections. And
yes, yeah.
That's the only thing I haven't tried. I've done everything else, you know. Now, I don't want to be downbeat on it because it can, as much as it can flare up, it can go down for no reason. But it'll always be there, but on a much milder form of it. So they're the days that we embrace. And also, the thing is not to overdo it, because I do that. When I feel well, I want to do everything. And then the next day and the 2 days, I'm back in bed again. You know, which is silly, but it's just human nature. You know, you want to enjoy yourself, you want to be able to do stuff. And, you know, it's kind of, it's like the fibro, I call him fibro for short. He's kind of saying, yeah, you think you're getting away with this. No way, Mrs. You know, you have to see the funny side too, you know.
Now, when you talk to somebody, Hazel, who has a condition, and the two of you can relate to each other, how important is that?
That's very important. Really, really important. I have a friend, as I said, and he's a counsellor. And for her thesis, she actually interviewed me. And she done her counselling all about fibromyalgia. And she got great, you know, results. And but the two of us had it. So she knew what questions to ask me, you know. And she said it was one of the best. They told her it was one of the best that they've ever seen, you know, the thesis. Like, because it was real. You know, it was written by her, you know, a person that's suffering with it, and a person that she was interviewing was suffering with it. Now, that's very important, because you don't have to convince them. You know? You're on the same page.
Exactly, exactly. Is there anything you'd like the state to do that the state's not doing? You mentioned that the government here don't recognise it legally, or whatever, don't give it official recognition.
No.
Maybe that might be a start. Is that fair?
Yeah, there's people in the background fighting for that. There's Fibro Ireland, there's a couple of organisations, and they have brought it to the government, you know, but it's a very slow burner, you know. I don't know why. I think it's because it's invisible, you know. I think there's still disbelief about it, you know, unfortunately. We need more doctors to stand up and say, look, you know, we have patients, blah, 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 this is real. And I think we need doctors from around the world, not just Ireland. Specialists. There's a lot of specialists in America, you know. There's specialised hospitals in America, and there's research in America. So, you know, we need those kind of people to come on board and speak up for us. The disability thing, I think, is very unfair because, like, my husband works, but I can't work, so I've no income, and I'm not entitled to disability, but I still have to pay doctors' bills and medication if I was on it, you know. So it's not easy, you know.
And in the minute or so that we have left, Hazel, you mentioned earlier that you're a member of the Ballymun Writers Group. Am I right?
That's right, yeah.
How big a help is that to you?
Fantastic, because it takes you away, you know, we're still meeting every week. Mary, your colleague there, is part of the group as well. And we have Nancy, she's the facilitator. Now, unfortunately, we don't have our library. We had the Ballymun, but we're doing it on Zoom. And we've been doing it all through the pandemic. So that's been a lifeline, you know, because...
Do you write about your condition?
It helps your mind and it helps to take you away from, you know, your pain or whatever, because you're writing and you're not thinking.
Do you write about it?
I read a lot and I'm in a book club.
But do you write about it?
And the days that I can't read a book, I listen to audiobooks.
Do you write about it?
And that helps. And also watch a lot of comedy. Make yourself laugh, you know what I mean? Mm. Because, you know what they say, laughter is the best medicine.
I was just saying, do you write about it? Does that help?
I do. I have. I've written a few things on it, yeah. Yeah, I have. I would like to, my hope is that I would like to write a one-woman play on fibromyalgia.
Do it.
Just a little short little...
There's nothing to stop you.
You know the way you have somebody on stage and they can...
Absolutely.
What I'd like to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if that's going to happen, but... it's awareness and it's... you know, surround yourself with good people and people that make you laugh and... You know, because you can't be down all the time. It's not good, you know.
Can people see your work?
It's very important.
Can people see the work that you've done? Your written work?
I could put it on my Facebook or I might put it on my Instagram. I just have a few little bits and pieces that I wrote, you know.
Are you proud of them?
Yes, absolutely.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Because it's harder for the likes of me and all people that suffer with invisible illness. It's not just fibromyalgia. There is a lot of invisible illness out there, you know, and all illnesses. But as I used to say, like, if they can't see it, they don't believe it. But believe it, it's there.
Well, they said the same about dyslexia, as I mentioned earlier, ADHD, ADD. Yeah. These kids were dismissed as being bold, naughty, whatever. Now we know why. Maybe one day it will get official recognition here as a disease, Hazel, and that will be a massive step forward for you, I think.
Yeah, it's to recognise it, you know, to recognise it as a disability is very important for people that have it, because we're kind of told, oh, it's in your head, you know, it's all in your head. Yes, it is all in my head. The pain is in my head, you know. It's not imaginary. No one would want to make this disease up, you know.
Anybody wants to contact you, Hazel, how can they do so? Have you an email address, phone number?
I have an email address. Yeah, well,
yes,
you have my email,
please.
Haven't you?
I have it on my own emails, but if you have it handy there yourself, you can tell the world.
Yeah, it's Masterson. It's all lowercase, masterson.hazel@yahoo.ie.
So that's masterson dot hazel.
Yeah.
At yahoo.ie.
And it's all lowercase. Okay. So if anyone wants to contact me, yeah, they're more than welcome.
You mentioned your Facebook. Can people
I have
add
my
you as
Facebook.
A friend?
Sorry?
Can people add you as a friend?
They can, yeah. I'm just under my normal name, Hazel Masterson. Yeah, they can look me up.
And
I'm also on Instagram.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Instagram. Can you?
No.
You can give that a mention too.
No. Yeah. No, I love the Instagram for the photos. You know, I've lots of photos up from, you know, when I was well and when I was.
You see,
away
when you look like me, you don't put photos up. There you go. That's why I'm on the radio, not the telly. Hazel, unfortunately, the clock has beaten us this morning, but listen, the best of luck, okay?
Thanks very much, George. You're very good. I enjoyed it, and I'm glad to be, hopefully, help someone else, you know?
Absolutely, keep in touch. You know, if you have a spare hour or two this week, get the pen and paper out and start on that drama, okay?
I'll do my best, yeah.
Hazel, you're a star. Thanks so much. Thank you.
That's great, George. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I was joined there by Hazel Masterson.